Welcome to the summer installment of Green Space. You're about to hear soggy music by Megan Kyle and poetry by Joel Craig, recorded live August 26th in Chapin Parkway near Potomac Avenue, which is a public green space in Buffalo, New York. Green Space is a seasonal event series that takes place outdoors, rain or shine or snow, run by Jake Reber and myself, Joe Hall. We're interested in readings in places that are unfussy, everyday, and without walls. You can hear previous recordings of events at Greenspace Green.Space, where you'll also find extended interviews with writers and thinkers revolving around questions that are of urgent concern for Jake and I. But back to our summer reading and its first featured artist, Megan Kyle. Buffalo-based oboist Megan Kyle performs as a soloist, improviser, chamber musician, and orchestral musician. She makes nonsense and sense of unfamiliar sonic experiences as a listener, performer, and teacher. Megan is a member of the new music ensemble Wooden Cities, musical research group Null Point, voice oboe duo Senso de Voce, and oboe, piano, violin, cello quartet, The Evolution of the Arm. She teaches oboe at Houghton University, SUNY Geneseo, and SUNY at Buffalo. Her most recent recording is an EP with The Evolution of the Arm called Telepathic Music Volume No. 1, released this summer on Infrasonic Press. And you're about to hear Megan introduce her project, Soggy Music.
Soggy Music was written in 2021. This version for Green Space was written in 2022. Electronics are by Ethan Hayden. The piece is for any number of participants of any skill level, body of water, hydrophone, and fixed media playback routed through a max patch. The music you'll be hearing is selected from Beedrich Smetana, The Moldau, 1874, Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, Scheherazade, 1888, Otorino Respighi, Fountains of Rome, 1916, and Richard Strauss, An Alpine Symphony, 1915. Soggy Music is about bringing water music outside and getting it wet. A hydrophone, or waterproof microphone, is placed in a kiddie pool in a public park. The loudness of the sounds it picks up affects the speed and pitch of the music heard in real time, like a turntable speeding up when the sounds are louder or slowing down when the sounds are quieter. I'm using the term water music to describe a subgenre of music written by European classical composers, particularly in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, who strive to evoke the tactile qualities of water through sound. These composers developed highly creative and effective ways to make their audiences feel as if they were seeing, hearing, and feeling actual bodies of water. By filtering the materiality of water through the high cultural formulations of classical music, these pieces reinforce the false idea that nature and culture are separate and separable entities. The pieces are celebrated because they translate a natural object into a cultural object. They bring an idealized representation of water into the concert hall. Real water has to stay outside. When we bring these examples of water music outside to a kiddie pool in Chapin Parkway, we bring them into an embodiment of the inseparability of nature and culture, of humans and our ecosystem. And we bring a physical body of water into the conversation. I invited the audience to use the provided toys or their hands or feet to play with the water. Without their actions, this small pool of captured water was relatively inert, with only the vibrations of passing vehicles, wind, and maybe a falling leaf or an insect to affect the playback of the music. Their activities of play added new currents and vibrations to this environment, and the sounds they contributed changed the music that we heard.
Yeah.
After Meg and Kyle's soggy music wrapped up, and the kids and adults stopped splashing around in the kiddie pool, and the sun began to set over Buffalo, Joel Craig read his poetry. Here's a little bit about Joel. Joel Craig is the author of Humanoid and The White House, both from Green Lantern Press. He co-founded and hosted the Danny's Reading Series in Chicago from 2001 to 2015. And serves as an artistic associate for the Lit and Lose Festival, an event series featuring authors, visual artists, and musicians from Chicago and Mexico in cultural exchange and conversation. Joel is also poetry editor for Make Literary magazine. His poetry can be found in A Public Space, Boston Review, Fence, and more recently in Phonograph Editions magazine. So that's the official bio stuff. Personally, I heard of Joel through Danny's reading series. About 10 years ago, everyone I talked to was like, you gotta read at Danny's, Joe. And if you read anywhere in Chicago, it is Danny's and you need to talk to Joel. Of course, I didn't know what to expect. Sometimes literary impresarios occupy a lot of space in scenes because they're actually kind of psychotic maniacs with an over-surplus of energy, or just trust fund weirdos with a lot of time. But no, when I met Joel, he surprised me with what I think is a rare combination of grace and spacious intellect. I was so glad to meet him. The poems in his most recent book, Humanoid, observe the interplay of cognition and the social, staging their thought in atomic syntactical units floating across the page, glimmering in each other's backlight. Through this, they think with a rare precision. They frame the exact moments where propositions transform or change direction. I find them insightful, sly, and incisive, while maintaining in their wide arcs a reserve of ineffable something that makes me want to keep coming back to them. So here is Joel's reading.
Thank you, Joe. That was a lovely introduction, and beautiful. Thank you. And Jake, both of you, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. Megan, thank you for your lovely sound installation. I'm a huge music and sound geek, so this is very fitting to me. And this is my first time to Buffalo, so that's a treat as well. A quick note on Humanoid. This is a book of 11 performances and that were created between 2014 and 2019. And performed across the country from living rooms to museum theaters and everything in between, one even in Mexico. But there was an ethic to it that once I performed one, I was not allowed to do it again. So the piece I'll read tonight, I was allowed to go back and play with them though, which I did tremendously based on the experience I had performing them the first time. So the piece I'm reading tonight has not been read out loud to a group since the first time I did it, and it was also the most challenging one to resolve in the end, so I'm excited to read it. But in keeping with that ethic, I also have something new to share with you that will only be for you until it finds a home at some point. Thank you all for being here. This piece is called Sorcerer. You want to become what you're saying, even if it's difficult to say, a word that moves from the back of your mouth to the front. Avariguar, where is your heart? Because codification is fun on your tongue. When we say, what does physically and mentally really mean? To begin your day by describing one good thing you can do by breaking oppression down into sounds. Maybe bludgeon isn't the word you're looking for. The word you're looking for is andronormative. Seems harsh, but stick with me. We may be horrible people, but we're also fashionably ambiguous. Man, I know. You are not my student, and I was never your therapist, but let me share a basic rule in spiritual matters. Keep it simple. Not living in the moment simple, but never just go casually gathering awareness, you know? When you finally come down from the mountain, you can feel yourself getting poorer, closer to zero, scent of dead skunk on the midway of higher consciousness. From a distance, skunk smells fine on the midway of higher consciousness. You know, the many different reflecting parables linked by conformity. Control has a wonderful way of integrating itself. Conformity, my ass, can we talk about this buildup of words? I don't know how to describe a bunch of poseurs, thus the word poseur. Roger that, most assuredly, but let's try again by saying the wheels have fallen off the dragster, and the parachute is the size of a hand. So now you endure acting like a dream entering into a people phase of shadows and skyscrapers with names like Epiphany Tower, Crystal Obelisk, Prosperity Tower, Labor Spire, Rainbow Tower, Peace Garden Tower, Chaos Bluff Spire, Meditation Ridge Tower, Symbiosis Tower, Gossip Territory Spire, Blood Territory Lookout. Pondering how to improve your pretext, talking too much. Plotting seduction requires more than endowment to create and maintain arousal. There's great psychology, and shrewd psychologies animate delusion with a pretty impressive track record at the neurological level of deployment. Take a look around. The yellow rocket and cressleaf groundsel, aka butterweed, both produce yellow flowers. But to see that brightness, you need to breathe in the untilled field. But here you preside over what? The chair is a chair, even when no one is sitting. The room is not a house, and home is allegory free. There is no influence to breathe, getting drunker in the liquid starlight of the mind. When you have a broken heart, when all of us are far apart, far enough to fall off the sofa, woa. Can psychology explain this after visit summary? Meditate, but do not meditate ambition. You self-compose, but avoid responsibility. You know, it isn't like they don't understand you or want to make friends with you. It's you don't care to be accepted because really, you don't like them anyway. In all of this emotional yin-yang is the ultimate physics. from the skin inward. When you leap into the evening shot in the arm, people only see what they want to see. To have a collective social assumption, you know? Trying to figure out, to whom are you really writing? Good morning, ladies. You dads think you're all so funny, combating toxic masculinity with cheerful humility, while people only see as much as they, etc. You know, when nothing transcribes into itself, you mean you feel different but don't know how altogether different you seem. Who wants actually to risk being evaluated? You're like Switzerland. Why are you not sounding well? The tone of your voice doesn't match what you're saying about grace, fully accepting political reality. It's okay. You're okay. You're cool, which has always sounded unbearable and fatuous, self-satisfied. What separates you from me, predictably, is comfort. If angry dogs get too close for comfort, I kick the living daylights out of their ugly faces. Okay, let me make it clear, I am not the same kind of pacifist as Gandhi or Joan Baez, to which you can say, whose mind is polluted by looping darkness. Even though you've lived here all along, when you hear rustling leaves, it's as if you can pick out each individual flutter. There's a lot more to bird watching than just watching a nightmare. Knows that shapes and colors morph in the dark. We may be horrible people in the churning dream is a line you might have gotten away with in the 90s if you followed with silk, satin, and silk georgette in a sea of black starlight, or a Sunday afternoon feeling of wanting to lie down and enjoy life. Still, if you think about it, who really ever grows up where they were born, waking up to perpetual loss and constant uncertainty? You think those people were much more real, being influenced by this light and the light ahead, like a movie, you know, in your brain. You had fun, but you want to go home.
Thank you.
I'm realizing now that this is a little bit of a sister, maybe, in spirit to what I just read, so I think that's a good thing. And did anyone else have, or continue to have, really bizarre dreams that were perhaps COVID anxiety induced, or maybe like over movie streaming or television program streaming induced?
Absolutely.
Me too. This is called First Television Picture from Space. This will always be imperfect because at least half of you are starving, but I wish there were 1 billion colors times 1 billion galaxy clusters that we could all recognize together in order to assign a new messiah. Because this one's not working for you, you know? I grew up an Eve angel formed adjective. That's when imagination dwindles and rehearsal becomes violent. But if you're lucky, you grow up. Thanks, you know, But no, you can only be so incapable of recognizing your tininess for so long. You can only be so sorry for your well-meaning intentions, not questioning the problem. If art is about solving a problem, my problem is how do you be warm-hearted and also cold-blooded at the same time? How far out in any direction must you whip dust so when you finally turn around to wave goodbye, you won't actually be able to see love is fleeting or love is forever? And somewhere in between, this planet is being seen for the first time. The problem with depiction articulating space and time yet to exist. And the Academy Award recovery, I'm waiting so impatiently at the limit of you can have any flower you want, but cordially, at least for now. Please tell me what I am supposed to do to make everything okay again. Who are you anyway? Can you cluster the reasons I should trust the reality being presented here? The purple coneflower boasts a striking bloom, but is uncommon in the wild, though good at escaping cultivation. Maybe that's why I'm attracting butterflies too. Move over, emotions flowing down all sides of this Montana mountain I didn't realize I was climbing. I love how all species dance, but we humans are the ones who argue about it, make the rehearsal a violence. Lately, someone reminded me there are no more poetics, just desires painting all the current intentions of desire. You should not get caught up in the disorienting lure of mass emotion, but I love the dust into the eyes and mouths colors, and I'm all for a very subtle, well-tailored, how liberated are you as a human being in a constant simulation of humanity, confectionery vibe shift, leaving the worst parts of crying out of happiness behind. So I can ask, how would you describe me in the dream, literally knocking on your skull, saying, here is a free idea, while you are obviously waiting for the big new aspiration, without even recognizing what is spreading across the floor like a mild coma, starry images, ink on paper, paint on cardboard, ink on flesh, blood on watercolor, blood in saliva. I'm a visual artist, but I've been too afraid to show anyone. You want to take in all the love because you don't know when you'll get it again. Lyric after lyric. After 30 years, you'd think you would have explored all the nooks and crannies, but of course life is only nooks and only crannies. So what is the color of asking? What is your color? You are letting your stress talk for you, and this avenue is one big eye vibration, because I'm a poet. To me, everything is a painting. I'm a muralist, sketching out the current inventions of desire, slipping profoundly into reaction. This makes you feel uncomfortable, but tell you what, just slap it. Bash the reaction with a sledgehammer. Rake desire open and sculpt a pedestal for reaction to stand and draw attention. Then smash it so briefly reaction floats and descends in slow motion while you pretend dive to reaction rescue. Whether you recognize it or not, how you demand an audience hang on your every word. This softly singing language you've never heard is so tempting. Type it all down, so fluid and wonderful. What exactly are you thinking about? The virtue of the artist, scratching a living out of people scratching for a living. And by galaxy, I mean a realm of unknowns, of inflammation, of not yet defined or seeming to be performed, blurring the evident world into the dream of flying freely out into space. Listen to this, my heart is missing music. Last night, I had such a vivid nightmare. There was a nuclear attack, missiles flying right overhead as everyone raced to the conference hotel basement. Hiding in a rack of coats, we waited for the end and waited. It was so loud. Apparently there was a plane with lasers shooting all the missiles, shooting them down so loud. I told my ex, holding my hand so tightly, this is crazy. Absolutely, do I want you right now? You were holding my hand so tightly. Okay, I said, turning my gaze back to the audience. Which ex? I mean, you've had a lot of exes. Honestly, I can barely remember who you are, but I do know I'm the one who tore out your heart after you tore out my heart. If art is about solving problems, my problem is how do you set the table you're waiting for an invitation to be seated at? And why aren't you inviting everyone you love? That's the thing about anxiety. No matter how many people are in your corner, there are and can never be enough people in your corner because there is no corner. Just the never-ending abyss that is the feeling of unworthiness. But there's also limitations to stardom. Like, you shouldn't want to know why isn't the camera pointing at you. You should ask, what galaxy do you want to go to? Where do you believe you'll discover new life? And whose hands do you want to be holding when you do?